Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Mind of a Collector. We're very happy to have you here. I'm Joe, Joe's Card Shack on Instagram, joined by Robbie, 412 Sports Cards.
Hello, everybody.
We're going to get into this because we got a lot to cover, including Series 2 rookie short prints, music autographs, and Wimby and Stroud autos. Lot to get into here, so we're going to jump right in with what's new.
All right,
going on with Robbie today.
All right, well, in terms of cards, today I should be securing a purchase of a couple vintage cards from a guy who does like only vintage story sales. Got a 1969 Willie Mays, which is pretty old, pretty close to the end of his career, so you know, not terribly expensive. A 1980 Ricky Henderson rookie, which is just a cool card. That one is one that, like, in a PSA 10 sold for over $100,000, I'm sure, during the peak. It's a tough grade despite there being a ton of them made. Just kind of an iconic card. Got that. Got a 1972 Topps Clemente. In a 1959 Topps Willie Mays.
Sound like
exciting haul. Grabs. What'd you say?
No, sound like some awesome grabs.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Three or two of those cards are raw, so I'm starting to think about what if I just slowly accumulate enough raw vintage to do a PSA sub someday.
I always am sending off to PSA. Shout out Clay Cards.
Yeah.
Well, most of my stuff is modern. I've only ever went SGC with vintage. It's just personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
I got my
first. I don't know why I prefer the PSA slab for the vintage. I just do. I think this is how they trap you, though. They get you into the slab continuity. And then you're hooked.
Makes total sense. The first vintage card I bought was a SGC slab. So ever since then, it's just had to match. So,
yeah, I know. That's how it started for me. It started for me when I got some of my early 1955 Topps cards. Those were all PSA slabs. And then my current big, I only have one big vintage card right now, and it's in a PSA slab.
So I went down to Dayton for the Dayton Card Show last weekend, a couple days ago.
Joe, you've been making the rounds.
I'm trying. It's been very fun, very exhausting, but very fun. Three card shows in 4 weeks. So it's been a lot, but it's been very fun at the same time. So I only picked up three cards in Dayton. Two of them are already sold. The only one I have left is a Gunnar Henderson Heritage Image Variation Rookie PSA 10.
Dang.
Just an absolutely sick card.
That's got to be a pretty good card.
This sells
PSA 10 on Heritage is always nice.
This sells for a pretty penny.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, some years I think of Heritage are really, really tough to grade. Others I feel like grade surprisingly well.
It's a Pop 93.
93? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What color is the back? So it's white on the corners are white in the front, beige on the back. Okay. So that's relatively easy then. I always think of when I think of Heritage, I think of the Ohtani Acuna Soto year. I always thought those were tough to grade, and I was always scared they weren't going to grade well, but they always seemed to, even though they had that pink back.
So the cool thing about this card show that I attended was actually not the card show itself. I went with a friend who loves sports, but has never done anything in cards before, and he wanted to come with me to the card show just to check it out, see what it was all about. And he was very intrigued, and actually by the end of the show ended up buying a card. So that was very cool.
What did he buy?
He's an Astros fan, so he bought a Jeremy Peña in person autograph, and it was one of his minor league cards from pro debut.
Oh, cool.
Yep. So that was very cool getting to share that experience with him and get his reaction to, you know, the prices of some of these cards and the look of these cards from somebody who's not in the space.
He had to be shocked by the price of some of the cards, right?
Well, I told him a little bit about cards. Like I told him about my cards. Anybody that listens, I'll tell about my cards. So, obviously he knows what some of mine are worth. So maybe he had a little bit of a briefing, but yeah.
So is it, would you say a successful trip?
I didn't do enough buying for me to justify it being worth the trip. I only bought three things, and the other two were pretty cheap. I mean, I'm gonna end up making a little bit of money, but I probably wouldn't go back. I would have preferred to more things, but what I did buy, I'm happy with. Like I'm
So
stoked about this gunner.
yeah, that so is the plan to move the gunner along
Yeah,
to
unfortunately.
yeah.
Almost everything I'm buying at the moment, the plan is to keep it moving. Gotta
Right enough.
sometimes you gotta make tough decisions to sell stuff to be able to buy more stuff, so
Oh yeah, you absolutely do. If you can make a little money buying and selling some cards, it, I mean, I used to do that all the time. It, ever since I got busier and it got harder, kind of fell by the wayside for me. But it is very fun if you're able to do that. I always really enjoyed that.
so you want to dive into this series too?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. So we're going to start with the variations. It was announced right before Series 2 dropped that Holiday, Churro, Langford, and Muriel would have short prints in Series 2. This is not the first time that we've seen a surprise drop. We had it a couple of years ago with Torque, Bobby Witt, and Julio, I believe. Does that sound right? I know it was
Did
Torque.
Julio have an SP? Oh,
Yeah.
yes, he did. It was horizontal. It was that horizontal SP. Yep, I remember it. Those actually fell relatively often, compared to the Acuñas and the Gleyber Torres that was also with the Acuña.
Yeah. Yep. I definitely feel like I saw those more. I actually at one
Like a
point
lot more.
found a Torque in a value box and ended up selling that. I got it for $1 and sold it for like $25. So that was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember that. I pulled an Acuña back in the day.
You pulled an Acuña?
Yeah, me and my brother bought a hobby box of Series 2 in 2018, and we each opened one pack for how many packs were in those? 24, was it? So we each opened a pack for 12 weeks, and my brother pulled an Acuña in one of his, which was obviously the card to get. And I forget if we got, and so that card at the time was worth like 60 or 80 bucks raw. And I mean, it's quite a bit more now. The box, the hobby box was $55, and the Acuna was like 60 or 80 graded. I forget if we got a 9 or a 10, but we were able to sell it for like 350 or 400. I think it was a 10. And then obviously from there it went to the moon and back a little bit, but that's, I love that card because of that.
I had wanted one for a really long time, and a couple of years ago, I finally acquired one off of eBay, and I got it in, and it was the cleanest card I had ever seen in my life. So I'm like, I'm not sending this to PSA. I'm sending this to Beckett. I was like, I'm getting this Beckett 10, and it came back Beckett True 9.5 with all 9.5 subs.
That's still pretty nice.
I held it for a
But
little bit, but eventually that one had to go. But that was a super cool to have that one on the list and then finally acquire it.
Yeah, that's a big card. It still is a big card.
Absolutely.
It's one I'd kind of like to buy back someday. That or a rainbow foil Acuna from update.
I think I had a rainbow foil Soto, not
Oh, I
Acuna.
never had a Soto. I used to have a bunch of Acuna rainbow foils.
Sick. So,
But yes, Series 2, so we got some SPs. Do you have any idea how SP they are? Are they like the Julio and the Torque, or are they like the Acuna where it was like one a case?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know the holiday has a couple variations to it, kind of like the Billy Ripken did, where the bat knob says fun face instead of the
Yes, the
infamous card that we all know and love. And then it has a scratched out version, and then it has a blank version, and I believe a white version.
I like that a lot because there's multiple. Well, because obviously there's the Billy Ripken we all know, and there's also the one that wasn't the non. Well, I guess it's also still an error, but the one with the black box over the bat knob. So I like how they did one like that for Jackson Holiday. I don't know if they're all of equal rarity or not. That's kind of that gets into like when there's SPs that are all kind of interwoven and like linked together in their nature, it makes you kind of wonder, are they all equal odds or are some of them more rare than others?
I gotta feel like there's gotta be some of those that are rarer than the other ones.
Yeah, I kind of think so too.
Time will tell with the PSA counts for sure.
That's very true. Good point.
So the other ones, Wyatt Langford and Jackson Merrill and Jackson Chirio, we're kind of running into the same problem with those that we had with the torque and the wit, to where they look a lot like standard base cards.
Yeah, I saw those pictures and I thought the same thing.
Yeah. So keep your eyes open in value boxes, I guess.
But you got to kind of wait a little bit because, like,
Oh yeah, for sure.
it is interesting though. Because, so, like, those guys, and this is the way it was with J-Rod, the way it was with Bobby Witt. It was before, it was just like a pre, it was like just they made their debut. They were going to be a rookie in update. They snuck them out in Series 2 as SPs. So they had no other paper rookie cards. So at the time, it's their only paper card. But once update comes onto the scene, that's when you start to get the potential Joe value box scenario where there's a lot of these guys paper rookies floating around. Just a couple of them have to be worth, in the case at least of the Acuna, considerably more.
Yeah, I think regardless, if you find you're gonna find if you find these guys in the $1 to $3 bin, you're gonna be making money. I think the realistic bottom for those would be like $20-ish dollars. I think the Torque still does like 15, and he's in AAA right now, so.
The Langfords are like 60 to 80 bucks on eBay right now.
That's solid. What does that
That is pretty
Chirio do?
solid.
Because when I was at the Tigers game when we played Milwaukee, this dude lit us up. It was like single, double, double, single, or something like that. He
I gotta
was
see.
up.
I gotta see what he's at, but I'd have to imagine. Oh, here's a fun face black box variation, 300 on bids, still going. So
You're gonna have that with
those,
Jackson Holiday. That dude's just such a hyped prospect.
a white blank bat knob of Jackson Holiday did 400.
Oh
The
man.
standard SP of him did 75. The Jackson Chirio is like 50.
The 75, that's not honestly not bad. That honestly is like, I want one of those just because it's this gonna be
That's not the fun
our
face. That's
Billy
a different
Ripken.
one. No,
What?
that's not the Billy Ripken.
It's
That is
not.
a action shot one.
Oh yeah, I forgot he had an action shot one too.
Yes, the
Wow.
actually the fun face appears to outsell the black box and the white box versions. A couple of these have done 500 on bids.
Okay, I'm not touching that yet. But
No.
that's awesome. I believe it will outsell just because that's the clear throwback to the Billy Ripken. So
Yeah, it's like 1.5 to 2x what the others of the blacked out ones go for. And I think that makes sense, right? Because everyone wanted the Billy Ripken one that we all know, not the blacked out one.
right, absolutely. So moving on now to the fact that CJ Stroud and Victor Wembanyama, respectively, have autographs in Topps Series 2. Shout out to Topps, and this is coming from the heart of a collector. Shout out to Topps for making these products even more fun to rip and somehow keeping them affordable. Because what is a box of this going to run you? Probably about 120 bucks.
Probably. If I had to guess, I'd say
And
I
you
think
can,
Series 2 has been kind of juiced up. 120 bucks is probably pretty accurate.
and you can chase Wimby autos and CJ Stroud autos, and not only that, but their first pitch autos. So they're wearing MLB jerseys, so they're licensed. And
Yeah,
I would
in a
take that
way.
over one of the Topps ones where they're wearing their where Stroud's wearing a football jersey and that's just blank. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do not like those.
No.
I agree this is slightly better. Boxes are 100 bucks, I looked, but
I very much want
I
to
do
get
like the kind of I do like the kind of value from it, from the perspective of it does seem like a way the Topps adds value to a set, and they didn't make a ton of them, so it doesn't really drive up the box price. But it does add some value in terms of potential for big hits. I don't know. I'm not huge on the inclusion of this in Series 2 personally, just due to I know that CJ Stroud's your guy, but and Wemby is kind of everybody's guy. But I maybe here it's more tolerable. Okay, I'll grant you this. Here it's more tolerable because I don't think it's really moving the needle on price. In Dynasty, the inclusion of Wemby, I did not like. Just not that I'm buying boxes, but like I don't like the inclusion of like Wemby just to jack up the prices of boxes because that I think we would all agree did move box prices.
So it
And
feels fun here, right? But if you put it in
yeah.
Dynasty, that just seems like a price gouge, is what you're saying.
Oh, it definitely was. Yeah,
I
here
agree with you.
they're printing so much series two, so much that the inclusion of what is it like? It's either 10 or 11 or 16 of these. I think it might be 11 or just 10 of this card. That's not moving the needle on price. It is kind of cool with the first pitch theme.
How about this though? How about this? A one of one, CJ Stroud. You can't see.
So one of one does exist. Okay.
One of one, CJ Stroud, Victor Wembanyama, dual autograph.
I
That.
can't deny that it is kind of cool
That's
that
so
to
cool.
have two. It is pretty cool. It feels weird to me that it's residing in a baseball product, but it is pretty cool.
That to me is an example of Topps doing what they can with what they can.
Yeah, well they've kind of well they've got them on board, but it's pretty tough right now for them to use Wemby and Stroud without the licenses, the respective licenses.
Yeah. But I think for now it's cool, but I think if you continue with this and the other products, I think it's going to be a little bit too much. I think this is really cool, but I think it should stop here. Like you put them in, that's that, move on. You know what I mean? Because
Yeah, I
in
agree.
Chrome update, you'll have the, I assume you'll have the MLB debut patches. You won't need stuff like
Oh,
this.
and they won't add anything like this. They made a huge effort to really juice up Series 2. and to get SPs in there. You normally do not have this many SPs in Series 2. There are tons. I think they really are just trying to make it that even though this is such a base heavy set, I think they're trying to make it into something they can sell through breakers more than what they used to be able to. And so they're adding more of those like standard big hit type cards to allow that to happen is what I think is going on.
That's the breaker's dream, right? To sit there and rip 20 packs.
Oh yeah, the breaker probably hates this. I hope for the breaker's sake, and I've noticed they've started doing this more. The SPs are like turned around in the pack, you know, like a hit would be. It did not always used to be that way. The SP used to, and maybe in some packs still is. I mean, you guys can tell from the way I'm talking. I have not ripped a box of hobby tops in a long time due to the prices. But I just see here and there from breakers. But I think they're trying to make it a little easier on the guys.
It's helpful to a person like me who has probably discarded several SPs and not known.
Yeah, I feel like every time I used to rip Heritage, I never knew what the SPs were. And then I'd have to look at like photos online and like Cardboard Connection of ones that I was suspicious of.
So last thing about series two, and then if we have time. Robbie had a couple questions that he wanted to bring up if we can get to them. Travis Scott and Kyle Tucker are featured on a dual autograph of 2024 Topps Series 2, part of the Signature Tunes insert. There's also other people with their walk-up song artist dual autograph.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool.
I don't know the list, but I know that Travis Scott and Kyle Tucker have a dual auto. And obviously Travis Scott, for coming from a country music fan, it knows that he is massive in the music industry. So this is a big W for Tops, in my opinion.
That is pretty awesome. I didn't realize, I thought it was just kind of random, like ask like Houston Texans or Texas. Oh gosh. Houston Astros, Travis Scott Astro World. I just was imagining like that type of thing. But if it's actually their walk-up song people, that's pretty cool. I like that a lot. That's actually kind of more related to the game. And I think, I mean, it does have one MLB player's auto on it, but I think I like that actually. And it ties in a little better than the Wemby Stroud.
Yeah, I agree. It does tie in better for sure.
Those cards aren't going to sell for anywhere close to what the Wemby Stroud's going to sell for, but it is cool nonetheless to me, and I respect the ingenuity to think up the new idea.
Yeah, for sure. So you had a series two question you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I do. I want to know, and I as I mentioned, I'm not really ripping Series 2. I'm not ripping really anything these days. Just the prices. When you look at the prices and the value per box compared to what it used to be, I sound like an old person. Because I'm really talking about like 5 to 6 years ago is what I'm really talking about. I don't rip. But Joe, would you ever rip Series 2? Like, do you, as a, I don't know if it's something you ever used to do. I certainly used to rip flagship tops just for fun. But would you participate in ripping this, whether it be a group break format, which I suppose is a valid option, or a box? Is that something that at all is intriguing to you, or would be intriguing if you had a rookie of your own in the SP set?
So I have so many ways, and I'm going to answer this question. So I hope you're prepared for
I
all of
am
them.
absolutely ready. Let's go.
So let's say Colt Keith was in this, and he had a chaseable card. I would
Yeah.
100% would try to be into at least one or two breaks, probably with Luff Brothers Trading. Shout out to them. By the way, they just hit the Yamamoto Super Fractor 1/1 autograph. I watched them pull it.
That's
So
awesome.
congrats to them. So So if if Colt Keith was for sure in this and he had a chaseable card, then I would be in a break or two trying to get it. The thought has already crossed my mind with ripping it, just because Series 2 is always so close to my birthday when it comes out. My birthday is July 6th, and I really like to rip on my birthday. Haven't done it in a couple of years, so maybe I will this year. I really might. But I'm going down to Cincinnati for Tigers Reds on my birthday. So
Oh, that's awesome.
yeah, it might be the day before or the day after if I do rip it. And if I do rip it, I'll let you know what I hit. Yeah, I think that's my answers.
So you would rip it. Does it bother, does the lack of pair, or I guess now they made more parallels, but did what are you do the parallels that are present, does that give you any, do you like the new parallels that they added? Do you wish that we just had the old parallels, but like you just got way less because they print way more? Or how do you feel about the state of like the parallels in Topps flagship? Because I feel like that is the thing that has changed the most over recent years.
To be honest with you, when it comes to stuff like that, I'm just paying attention to the SPs and the autographs. The parallels really don't faze me. If I hit like a parallel of a top rookie, then I would be concerned. If like if it was low numbered or whatever, then I would care. But other than that, it's just like, ooh, nice little addition when I'm ripping it.
Okay, that makes sense. I was always curious. For me, I really feel like on top series two, I've gotten mired in the ways of wanting to see just the classic parallels plus rainbow foil. I really do like the rainbow foils.
And I bet the I don't I haven't ripped any of Series 1 or Series 2, but I bet that rainbow foil would pop on that neon. I bet that would look really cool.
Yeah, I bet it would. I also haven't ripped any series one or series two this year, but I've thought about it just because, like you said, it's fun to rip and it does sound pretty fun.
I pretty much at this point have to have an occasion for me to rip, but my birthday is a really good excuse. Either that or like somebody I'm really chasing a Stadium Club, or just I have an itch and I reach for Stadium Club because I absolutely love Stadium Club, and even the base cards, I can just enjoy those almost every single one. So it's a very fun rip, even if I don't get a big autograph.
I completely agree. I've had a lot of fun with Stadium Club too.
There was one year I worked at a card shop, right? And I went crazy. I ripped like three Stadium Clubs.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's me going crazy is ripping three boxes.
Well, I mean, when you think about how many boxes I've ripped recently, three boxes in one of one product sounds pretty wild to me.
That's what happens when you give a card addict and an employee discount.
Oh no, not the employee discount. It's game over.
So I'm trying to figure out how much time we have left. I don't have a warning yet, so I know we have longer than 10 minutes. If you wanted to try to squeeze in that other question you had for me.
Oh, yeah, we can probably get into that here in a bit. Actually, Joe, refresh me. Oh, refresh me what I wanted to ask, because I was so focused on the series too. Give
It
me a
was
little hint.
something along the lines of bouncing, collecting with flipping.
Yeah, so I guess that is something that came up earlier in this episode. You had mentioned how you haven't really gone, when you're going to that show in Dayton, you are buying cards and you wanted to buy a lot of cards, but your objective is to sell everything which you bought. And you said, you kind of deemed that show a success or not a success by how much you were able to buy. How do you kind of balance that with the collecting? Are you trying to use it to like fund the collecting? And when you buy cards, you see a nice Miggy, you see a nice Riley Green. Are those cards that you're like, yeah, I know this market so well, I would love to buy and flip these. I feel super comfortable. Or are they ones that you stay away from because it's so difficult to part with if you really like the card?
So Miggy, I want 100% stay away from.
So you're
If
staying away. Yeah.
because I know if I bring a Miggy home, odds are it's going in my case. So I have bought some Riley Green, like
This
this.
is, yeah, okay. This Orange Wave Auto. This is what got me thinking. And I was curious if you were specifically targeting Riley Green to flip because you knew his market or what happened there.
So I try my basically what I tell a vendor when I walk up to a table, I get asked a question a lot. What are you looking for? And I answer, always answer with whatever makes sense. I saw this Riley Green. It was priced very fair at $200. Last sale was 275. So
Dang.
I paid flat out two for it. I didn't even haggle him, just bought it for two. And since I bought that, I've kind of gotten a little attached to it. So might have to stay away from Riley Green a little bit. I did take a Miggy out of my PC. I sold a Dynasty earlier today.
Oh, I saw you put that one up on the story sale too.
That one did sell. So if I made room in my PC if I want to keep this. But basically that's my rule is like going forward, if I'm taking something I want to put in my PC unless I'm buying it with PC funds. Because I have a spreadsheet with where all this money's coming from in and out of the card bank account. Unless I'm using PC funds to fund a purchase specifically, it is going to have to come out of the PC if I want to keep it,
Yeah.
which I'm still undecided on this. I really want to keep it, but I've gotten some interest on it. So if it sells, it sells.
Yeah. It's tough to draw that line and to flip the cards that you really get attached to. But
Well,
I've kind of found myself in a similar boat as you, where, like, if I want to buy more PC cards that have really any substantial cost, there needs to be some PC funds coming to the party, because I'm taking all I'm really putting in terms of new money, it's like $25 every paycheck. And so, that does not add up very fast. So you kind of got to look to your PC if you want to make a big splash,
I have zero coming in.
Yeah, the zero is even harder. And you
And
and right, we all want to see. And there's a possibility of me going to that same way, but we all want to kind of keep the mail days going, and it's so tough to decide what how to prioritize the limited funds,
me and my wife, I'm trying to figure out how I want to word this. Almost had something amazing happen, and it kind of made me realize my priorities. Like
Yeah.
maybe this cardboard isn't as important as I thought it was. Like obviously it's still very important to me, one of the most important
Yeah.
things in my life, but maybe there's some money there that could be used in a better way, and I can use this cardboard to make more money for that wonderful thing. So that's
Yeah.
kind of where this is coming
You
from.
really do think about that, and I've had similar thoughts. And I feel like that whole process is probably for the best. And all that's going to happen is the stuff that's left, if you do purge some to use money in other things that mean a lot to you, the stuff that's going to be left is going to be such a core, strong PC. Like, because I feel like where I'm at right now, if I had to cut, it would be hard, Joe, to make. So if you say cut 20% of the value of your PC, that would be tough, but it would become ironclad if you had to do that.
There's definitely some stuff that I draw a hard line. Like, this is no, and then this has a price. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I find that the cheaper stuff is actually the stuff that is a hard no.
Yeah, because if you look at it like this, it's this lump sum of money for this expensive thing that could really help in all these ways in life. But it's the cheaper stuff that, like, I could really live without that money, but I'd rather have a card.
And yeah, exactly. And sometimes they happen. And if one of those happens to be one that you're really attached to, well, then that makes it extremely hard. It is a lot easier to justify when you get a big sum of cash and you're like, okay, like I see some material impact from this.
But I will say some of my expensive stuff, it's a hard no on selling, so
Oh, I know. Trust me, I feel the same way about my two most expensive cards. I'd be like, yeah, I don't want to part with them.
I'm trying to think if my two favorites right now are my Riley Green Sapphire Gold Autograph and then the Miggy Super. And
Yeah, the mini super is nice.
I don't know if the Riley Green is number two value wise, but it's got to be up there. So it's top three or four, but I can't say for sure that it's number two.
Yeah. I think we don't really, when you have the cards that are of no interest in going anywhere, you really don't even keep track of what they're worth, quite honestly. I have not checked the market on my like the three most valuable cards I have, which are all top 10 cards. Two of them are probably top five. I haven't checked the market on those 6 months more, just because there's no need really to know. Nothing's really going to happen.
All right. I think we're good to wrap there unless you got
I think
anything
we are
else.
good too.
All right. My wife is making dinner and it smells amazing.
Well, you're a lucky man. Enjoy the food. I hope the listeners enjoyed the pod.
What a sign off. All
You got
right.
it, Joe.
Thank you, everybody that tuned in. We will be back again next week and we can't wait.
That's the truth. See ya.